From resonant bed springs to mind-controlling cell phones, we've literally got it all for you tonight. With Roger Tulsis, I'm Art Bell. Good to have you with me. We're going to concentrate heavily on the phone line, so if you want in, those were the numbers, those are the doors to get to us, and we'll get right to it. Well, all right. I think Roger has a website he's referred to several times. I'm sure we have a link. Roger, do you want to tell everybody what your website is?
Yeah, it's bugsweeps.com, BUGSWEEPS.com. And we have quite a few interesting articles on there. You were talking about the chip implants and things like that. And if you go to the electronic harassment section at the top, there's a Coast to Coast logo. Because George and I did a whole show about the implanted individual that was running the computers through mind processes, and we've got pictures and information about that up there. So,
I didn't get an opportunity to hear that. What was the?
There's a research that was going on where they implanted a brain tap into an individual that was a paraplegic, and. All the information about it, several pages of information, is on my website. And let me just see. I think it's under brain tap. But at any rate, if you
They did this. I'm very interested. They implanted this chip for what purpose?
As an interface to a computer for an individual that doesn't have use of their arms or their legs.
So in other words, to produce some sort of mechanical ability for this person to be able to move?
No, basically what he did is, and in the first demonstration, and you see it in the information, is that they took a game of Pong, and he could play a game of Pong with himself to a level of about 70% accuracy with thought alone.
I see. That was bad, good or bad?
No, it's just a very interesting advancement in the sense that they can make a brain interface that will allow exchange of information, at least in one direction. Of course, we're looking at the Model T. My thoughts and George Norrie's thoughts were that in a several years from now, it may be such that we may be downloading information into our own brains. In other words, reading a book will be archaic versus a download for 60 seconds on a brain interface basis. You can read that particular article. It's called Brain Taps. It's listed as Brain Taps in my information section. So if you go on the website and go up to the taskbar where it says Info, click on that, and then in alphabetical order, there'll be the article on Brain Taps under the B's.
Brain Taps. Okay, here we go. Here comes the public. First time caller line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hi. Hello there. Hi.
Hi. Art?
Yes.
Hi, this is Rose down in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, Katrina country. I wanted to tell you that our prayers are with you guys down in the Philippines. We know what you've gone through. Thank you for your courage all these years. I'm a longtime listener. I wanted to ask Roger a question about, I have an internet service. I'm an internet service provider, and we broadcast 2.4 to 5.6 gigahertz. And I was wondering if you could tell me if that is a problem with radiation, if there's any type of health issue that we might need to be aware of.
Well, I think it is. It's been my research that even people that have wireless networks and sitting in their own homes, if they're close enough to it, that these things can interfere with your neural processes. The whole thing about electrosmog, in the sense that our cities are becoming totally wired with microwaves everywhere, I really think is going to end up being a smog problem similar to air pollution. And so, you know, I don't use any kind of RF devices in my house because I just don't want to have any of the physiological problems associated with them.
Well, I use nothing but, Roger, and I'm sure there are those in the audience who will say, well, that accounts for your point of view, Arn. I don't think so. I've been around RF, much higher levels of RF, Roger, all my life, both at lower and much higher frequencies, up to 12 and 13 gigahertz. And while it's nothing to be cavalier about. I don't think it's anything to really be scared about either.
Well, I don't know. You know, you may build up immunities dealing with something like that over time.
Think so?
But yeah, and I think people that are not used to those kind of exposures may end up having more difficulty with them. But still, the point is, you still have to look at it as a element that was never present in cities before. There really was not microwave towers matrixing the whole city, putting out RF levels that, in a lot of cases, during rush hours, go to fairly high amounts based on the amount of phone conversations in progress.
I think the real danger from cell phones is people using them in cars and having accidents.
Well, that's
at any rate, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that one of your previous callers, I think, was right on the money with respect to the fact that, you know, average people aren't going to, if they're plotting something against the American people, they're not going to come right out and say, hey, we're going to bomb. They're not going to be so explicit. They would speak in code. And when he mentioned that, I was thinking that the whole idea of having wiretaps where just about anyone in America could be subject to what a normal person would consider an illegal wiretap is more of a smokescreen. It's almost along the lines of the bird flu. It's more scare tactics than anything else.
Yeah, and but caller, don't you think that the CIA or NSA has probably thought about what you're talking about? In other words, that people would speak not directly. You know, they're not going to say, set off the bomb at 5 o'clock, Mohammed, or something like that. In other words, they're going to be a little more circumspect.
I'm sure they have, but I think there's a long history of mistrust of the government. I mean, just think about the McCarthy era, where perfectly innocent people were having voluminous FBI files built up on them and blacklisted.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. We've got to keep an absolute eye on our government, always.
Right. So my fear is the overzealous pursuit, justified but at times overzealous pursuit of information could lead to perfectly, you know, legitimate American citizens being thrown into a Guantanamo prison sort of situation. And I just think that we offer murderers more of a chance to prove their innocence and to beat the death penalty if they're convicted than the current laws allow in terms of rights, individual American citizens, should they be suspect of being a terrorist. And that's where I think that it's all the things I said, the misuse of information, the overzealous pursuit of information, that I think is cause for worry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. Any comment, Roger?
Well, I think that the point he made about, or that you made, is that, I have to keep an eye on him. But I think once you've relinquished the situation where the people that are supposed to be keeping the eye on them, the judiciary, relating to giving authorizations and warrants, that you're past the point of, you know, we can keep an eye on them, but, you know, we gave up the ability for there to be any lawful action in stopping it. So once you abrogate the judicial oversight, then the executive branch has become kings, able to do what they want to do, then you know, we keep our eye on everything, but it doesn't mean we're going to have any ability to stop the abuse.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hi.
Yes, this is John from the state of Washington.
Hi, John.
Hi. Your visitor is right on when he talks about the kings and the intelligence that is behind the corralling of the sheep ready for the slaughter is so much higher than your mindset or my mindset, that we're being conquered and we're being thrown into that corral and we don't even know it. And the ways of men are being darkened by the darkest indicator that there is on the planet.
The darkest indicator?
Which would be Satan himself.
Satan.
And the mark.
Okay, well, actually, we don't, but we see, we don't really have kings yet, much as we might, I guess, toss that term around. We really do have elected officials. Now, we may not be happy with them, but the electoral process is still in place. I mean, we elect our presidents, our congressmen, our local leaders. In other words, we do have this representative democracy. It is still there. Right, Roger?
Well, Art, what would happen if, let's not particularly pick on George Bush, but let's just say what happens if the current president said, you know, we're no longer going to deal with the Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment, and I think at this point, because we're under national emergency and war, I'm going to stay on another term as president because, you know, we've been able, everybody's going to make a sacrifice because we're at war, and one of the sacrifices here is to keep the continuity of leadership until this thing is over, so we're just going to put the elections aside, and I'm going to stay on as leadership. And we'll just put that in the same little bin that we put the Fourth and Fifth Amendment in terms of putting them aside.
Well, what would happen would be a revolution.
Well, I'm just wondering. I mean, when is too much too much?
I don't know. You have to have something specific. Certainly,
well,
that
well,
would
I'm
be
saying
too much.
You
I mean, if you're asking, would that be too much? Yes, of course it would be too much.
Okay, but it's not much different in the sense that the Fourth Amendment's being sidelined and the Fifth Amendment's being sidelined.
Oh, but it is. I mean, we're having a great national debate about this, Roger, so it's very different. If the president says, look, I think there's an emergency, so I'm just going to stay on, well, that's much too much, Roger.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that there's a limit here, because before in our discussions, I ran the list down of things that that you thought was okay on your personal.
Well, I did stop you at my medical records. And...
Yeah, you did. And what about DNA? What happened? Is it okay for the government to have your DNA?
I don't see why not.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. You can't get any more personal than that.
Well, I suppose not. It's kind of like fingerprints. I know they have my fingerprints, right?
Well, I think it's beyond fingerprints. DNA is I think, even more invasive a piece of data.
Well, certainly more specific, yeah. There's no question about it. But I don't know. Now, it's what's done with that DNA. For example, I will give you an example with reference to DNA. The misuse of DNA, for example, Roger, would be if they took your or my DNA and they discerned from that, let's say, I was likely going to get cancer at 40 years of age. Now, we're going back a few years. I've already passed that possibility at 40. But that I was going to get cancer at 40 years of age. They're close to learning these kinds of things, Roger. If that information were turned over to an insurance company, well, gee, I probably wouldn't be able to buy insurance, would I?
Well, that's the problem with allowing them to take this information in the first place. You really don't know what they're going to do with it.
Well, I think that's what the national debate is all about. And that's why we're having a debate about this warrantless business. I mean, we are, as long as we're having a debate, as long as it's out in the public sector and we're all talking about this and saying, is this right, wrong? Is it really a subversion of the Constitution? Will it last forever? As long as we're having these debates, it means we still have a fairly free and open society, I would think.
Well, I guarantee you they're not going to close up the DNA databases. Once you're in, and that's that.
Probably true, and I don't think they'll erase my fingerprints either, but there you are. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Jim calling from Fort Lauderdale, listening to you on WIOD News Radio.
Yes, sir.
I usually agree with you pretty much, Art, on most things, but I don't like the idea. Before 9/11, the NSA said there was so much chatter that they knew something was up, but they couldn't interpret it all. So now if they listen to everybody, they listen to me ordering a cheese pizza that I want extra nuclear jalapenos on it. How can they interpret all this information when they couldn't interpret it from a few people beforehand?
Well, I have no idea.
Well, one of the things that's happening is that the machines are doing the interpretation now.
Uh-huh.
They have data landscape where you actually put on those goggles and you can look at landscapes of information, not in the sense of the actual words, but a compilation of how many words that are flagged words or stack-ups in particular areas. It's a rather interesting software that enables the analyst to focus in on things, so you don't want to order too many nuclear pizzas.
But Roger, at the end of the day, what the machine finally spits out is going to be turned over to a human being. If it's really of interest and it's really, really something, it's going to get turned over to human intel of some sort, right?
Well, either that or the dossier. You got this dossier thing, you know. All we know, any matter of interest may be taking all your conversations into a hard drive for later interest, who knows when.
Mm-hmm. All right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hi.
Is this me, Art?
That's you.
Hi, Art. I have to tell you, I'm very deeply disappointed in the attitude you've taken towards this whole domestic surveillance. How on earth can you possibly expect a government who you've railed about in the past, and maybe not railed, but you've expressed some consternation over the fact that they, as far as the UFO and things happening on a paranormal basis, they've kept that from the public. How can we possibly trust this government, any government, to have so much power and control over the information in our lives? I would never, that list that Roger mentioned earlier, I would never agree to one of those things. That's a fascist state. That's China or Russia in the old days or now.
That only depends on how the information is used.
But we don't know how the information is going to be used. That's just the thing. And we know from the caller earlier said the historical record is replete with these abuses, terrible abuses. And think how soon, in just a matter of a generation, young people coming up and those who have never been born will.
Let me put it to you this way, sir. If it was really fascist, if it really was fascist in the way that you describe, they would not be seeking permission to be doing this in the first place. They would simply do it, and then they would abuse it. That's a fascist state. We're having a debate about this in America right now. And so there is this ongoing debate. A fascist state, like the one you described, they would simply just do it, and then they would use that information definitely in a wrong way, and you would find yourself in some sort of jail or lockup or re-education camp or something like that. That's fascist.
Well, keep in mind that this administration did try to implement it without anybody knowing it, in secret, to sidestep this judicial process. That was the way that they went about doing it. And it was years after that the New York Times exposed it. But I can tell you that going back to one of my 2003 shows, George Norrie asked me, do you think the NSA is spying on Americans today here in America? And I told him at that time that they were.
You did. Well, I think for some years now, we've known that the NSA has been doing that. In fact, it was on 60 Minutes.
Well, it's not supposed to be working inside of the American communication system.
Yeah, but that was on 60 Minutes a long time ago. Years ago now. Right?
I don't think so. Not that I saw. I didn't see a 60
Minutes. Sure it was. They exposed that many years ago. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hi.
Hi, this is John in Savannah, Georgia. You know, I can see both sides to the rights versus security argument, but I always thought the question was kind of academic. I was always under the impression that they went ahead and did the electronic surveillance, and then if they had to back engineer the case to make it legal, they did. In other words, they're going to do it anyways.
Yeah,
I never see this mentioned in the media, but it always seemed to me that law enforcement and intelligence agencies just go ahead and tap the phones and then put the pieces back together, you know, as they need to, if they need to make it legal.
Well, if that was really the case, though, then we wouldn't be having this great debate that we're having.
Well, it was the case in Los Angeles. They had thousands of cases where they had done illegal wiretaps. Convicted, brought the evidence forward saying that they were...
No, you're absolutely right. And then they went and they put other fronts for how they got the information. You're absolutely right, Roger, and that was illegal. But that's not exactly what we're talking about right now. Hold on, Roger, we're at the bottom of the hour, so we'll take a break here. Come back and do one more segment with Roger Tulsis. I'm Art Bell. Where a lot of trees are still down, a lot of power lines are still down. We got hit pretty hard by a typhoon, but the power is coming back. Life resumes. Hi, everybody. My guest is Roger Tulsis. We're talking about taps on phones, data mining, information, who has it, what they do with it, micro implants, I guess control of the very brain. And with that, we'll be right back. Once again, Roger Tulsis. Roger, you have not yet written a book about all this. Are you headed in that direction?
Well, I've been working on one, but one more question for you here. Now, the government has the technical capability to turn your cell phone on at any time and listen to the room in which you're in. Is that something that would bother you without a warrant?
If it ate up my minutes.
It will not eat up your minutes. Is that okay with you in the for them to turn on your cell phone and listen to what's going on at any time?
Are you sure it wouldn't take my minutes?
I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. I it would be crushingly boring for them. But, is there anything going on that I would...
If it's okay because of the terrorist situation, whether they can turn on and listen to your goings on around your cell phone at any time that they will to do so.
Well, I don't know. There are circumstances under which, in other words, if they knew that something was being discussed that was a compromise of national security or something that was life threatening, then maybe the ability to do that. For example, I could imagine under the right circumstances, Roger, the police doing that. If they knew where a cell phone that they could turn on and they heard a crime being planned, a murder being planned or something like that?
Well, it would be the typical fishing expedition that you have with the NSA. We'll just go around, turn them on, and see what we can see if we've got any illegal activity.
I mean, we can get very paranoid about this, Roger, and just imagine they're turning on everybody's cell phone and listening to our lovemaking. But, just somehow I don't think they're doing that. No,
well, I can only tell you that I have examined phones that will do this. So that the government has the capability to do that. My question is just on our...
Well, how do you know they have that capability? That's very interesting. How do you know?
Because I've analyzed the phones that have received the software to enable it.
So you could actually do it, right?
I don't do it. The government does it.
I said you could do it.
If I had their technical capability, I could do it.
Ah. So you figured this out based on what? I mean, I don't know how they would technically accomplish that.
Well,
and if you know how it would be done, tell me.
Yeah, the way it's done is that the software that is in the telephone, just think about it as being a computer.
Okay.
When you want to bring new operational software into your computer, you just go online and it downloads, and then you have a new software that does whatever you've...
Well, that's even true of cell phones. You can download the latest operating system.
That's just how it works. When the government wants to enable this function that I'm talking about, they download software modifications to your phone that enables that capability, that it actually takes down conversation. It removes the space between the conversation to optimize memory, and then it will data burst that conversation back up at a convenient time.
I would bet they could do that. It does sound technically...
I've already examined phones that have the capacity to do that. So, but getting back to our discussion of tonight, is that okay with Art that his phone could get turned on at any time?
Well, like I told you, it's the minutes thing. As long as they leave my minutes alone.
They would not. It does not interfere with your minutes in any way. So it's okay if anybody pops in and listens on a fishing expedition at any point during the day that you got the phone on.
It'd be boring. I'm telling you, it'd be boring. Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis.
Hello, Art?
Yes, hello.
Hi. I've been listening to your guest tonight talk about our lack of privacy and the monitoring of the American people, when on the consumer level, it's been going on for years. The POS terminals, the corporations know oftentimes very intimate details of our lives.
That's absolutely true.
Since 1999, all vehicles manufactured have GPS systems. Basically, what I'm asking is, how come it's okay for corporations to do this and not the government in the name of security?
Roger?
Well, I think the problem is that I think most of the consumer stuff normally has to do with transactional information.
Yes, but from transactions, you can oftentimes find out a lot of information.
I agree with you.
Her point was, why is it okay for corporations but not the government?
Well, the corporations do it with your own granting approval to do so. They, you fill out forms that say that they can hold these things. But don't forget that a lot of the corporations you're dealing with are somewhat under government control, like all your banks. I mean, when you go into a bank, you're really dealing with the government. There really are agents, they are kind of sub-agencies and controlled in detail. So this is one of the reasons when the government wants to look at records, they don't really even get a warrant.
Oh, but Roger, there are corporations that look at, for example, what you buy or even what you look at that's, for example, advertised on the web. And then if you enter information, including your name and phone number and God knows what else, those lists are frequently sold and passed among corporations and things like that. You're certainly aware of that.
Yeah, of course. And you did so willingly, but the content of my phone conversations is not a willing release.
Okay. First time caller line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you? I love your show. I really do respect you a great deal because you do give a very legitimate voice to and a huge stage to guys like Roger. And this is a discourse that needs to happen. And I think it should be happening more often. Roger, I do have a question for you. It's great that you bring this to national attention, that you go on Art's show, and I'll look forward to seeing you on Fox News. But you know, if you're going to come out here and you're going to say this in public and come on the air and level these kinds of I wouldn't call them accusations, but suggestions, then where do you want to take this? I mean, it's great to talk about it, but then what can we do about it? I mean, what does it mean for us, and how can we combat this in our own lives if we're worried about this?
Right. Well, you know, first of all, you can make sure that when you transact things in manners where you're not leaving a great deal of records. I tend to do most of my transacting in cash just so that I can keep my personal privacy about where, you know, what I spend money on and in my own spending habits. So as far as that goes, that covers a lot of it. That takes your whole, financial picture and puts that into a better space of anonymity. So, and that's how
I tell you, you're certainly not in favor of a cashless society then.
Well, I don't use credit cards, and I tend to do things in cash when I travel, just because it's more convenient. But once again, if you go pull my credit card, you come up with zilch. You have no idea where I've been, what I spent my money on. Mm-hmm. That's the way
the only problem with that way of living, and it is a fair way to live, Roger, is that if you need credit, then you don't have it.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is I don't borrow money for many reasons. I was listening to your Lear Financial, and I myself I'm 98% in gold myself. And the interesting thing is the last time I said that with George Norrie, gold was $3.40 an ounce. I said it 3 years ago, and now it's I think it closed around $5.80 the other day.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's definitely gone up. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
That's you.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm calling. I'm in a truck from Nevada.
Okay.
Listening to Roger talk earlier about this thing they passed in the law about the wiretapping, and he was talking about how the phone calls all go through a center, phone calls listened to for certain phrases and words. Well, that's tapping all of our phones already. We're already tapped.
Exactly. We are already tapped. The NSA has wired all our phones and all our ISPs right up to our house. We are directly connected with the intelligence agencies.
Well, there you have it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis.
Yeah, good day, gentlemen. I'm listening to 1410 AM in Victoria.
Yes, sir.
And I got a question for both of you, and I'd like Art to take it on first, if I may.
Okay.
Just to be politically correct, let's say you had hypothetically had a government that rigged an election. We had collusion and assisted in 9/11, and is dispersing spent plutonium like a dirty bomb throughout a nation that they invaded illegally. Don't you think this technology would sort of keep them in power as opposed to assist the public in dealing with the reality and truths that are being hidden from them currently by the mass media?
And you think all those... What you just mentioned, a government that blew up its own buildings, and what else was it?
I think if you look at the physics of how the building fell and how Building 7 was conveniently taken out with the Enron and WorldCom paperwork, and the missing money and the, you know, the no-bid Carlisle military contract, oil profits, hungry administration. Is your country worth that administration, or is your future worth kissing up to them?
And well, if you believed all of that was true, we'd be in really big trouble. Fortunately for me, I don't believe that. Do you, Roger? Do you think we destroyed our own buildings?
I think that there's a real threat when you have these kind of powerful databases with all the dossiers and available information about every detail of another person. Then how does a challenging political party come up against somebody that has that control, that information at their fingertips? It can be really very big problem.
So you're saying this is hard for the Democrats because the Republicans have all the info?
Well, apparently, at this time, in the name of the war, the president can order up these details of information on anybody. Mm-hmm. Who's going to stop him?
Remember when Richard Nixon tried to get a little information on the opposition?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Psh, boy, big trouble.
Yeah, it's great.
Big trouble.
It's great the way that worked out, but that was.
Well, I mean, that was nothing compared to what you're
talking
about.
He wasn't doing it with the sanction of the Congress and the judiciary.
Well, I don't think the Bush administration is spying on the Democrats with anybody's permission.
Well, the point is they've got databases.
That's what
on
you were
everything.
Saying. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's go to East of the Rockies, and East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, okay.
My name is Chris. I'm calling from Davenport, Iowa. And just like to play devil's advocate here for a minute, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Abraham Lincoln, he suspended habeas corpus and started to imprison Southern sympathizers. Woodrow Wilson did roughly the same thing and directed it towards peace protesters. Franklin Roosevelt suspended habeas corpus, and along with that, he started internment camps for Japanese,
mm-hmm.
as well as even stationing federal agents inside German-speaking schools and churches, and basically, in a roundabout way, outlawing the speaking of the German language during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I would say that what our government is doing now is far less abusive than what any other president has done.
Roger?
Well, it depends on what they do with all these dossiers and databases.
Why don't you instead reflect on the history he just talked about? I mean, and then, of course, during World War II, a lot was done. So, and yet the Republic plunders forward.
Yeah, it does. And of course, you know, just look what happened to, as an example, the Native Americans. They were rounded up, put in concentration camps, and they attempted to get rid of them all together, give them smallpox and all the rest of this kind of stuff. So, you know, there's a long history of those kind of abuses, and then you got to say to yourself, how much power do you want to give a government to be able to single out people and have dossiers with these kind of details we were talking about tonight?
You jumped over, though, and gave us the American natives as an answer to his question, which I don't think was quite fair.
Well, I'm just saying there's a long history of abuse. I agree with him. And do we want to give this much power, this dossier computer mining power, do we want to allow that to run unchecked? I don't think we should.
Well, no, we don't want to have it run unchecked. We want to have it run checked. That's my point. We want to have checks on it. Absolutely want to have checks. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis. Hello.
Hi, Art. Terry from Diamond Bar, California. I would like to say thank God that you have common sense. I know you tend to be a little liberal on certain things, but in this case, you are right on. You've tied this guy up in knots. Every time you try to explain something to him, he reverts to some sort of convoluted nonsense. He's referring to the American Indians when you ask him about internment camps of World War II. I find this man extremely offensive, and I like to thank God that he's not in charge of our security. I guess if he starts saying mushroom clouds around America, he'll be screaming that President Bush, who it's quite obvious he despises, isn't doing his job. If this was a elected Democratic president, he would be screaming for interrogation of everyone except Middle Easterners. This is the kind of guy he is. I know it.
Roger, do you despise President Bush?
Well,
yeah, laugh. Go ahead, laugh.
No, no, just answer the question.
Do I despise him? Well, I really don't like
him.
Some of the things that he's done, especially, I think
see.
The war itself is the wrong direction for this country. We can't afford it, and I think that we're stirring up a worldwide war that we're really not going to be able to do much about keeping it contained.
You think we're going to lose it?
I think that that there's going to be some terrible outcome that we just haven't foreseen.
I see. Well, if that's true, then we better be listening. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. I'm calling from the Miami, Florida area.
Yes, ma'am.
And my husband was in the Navy, and then he got a job at the AT&T company. He had a first-class license,
mm-hmm.
his SEC license, and he passed away last year, and he was only 60, and he had come down with epilepsy. And I was wondering if these radio waves could have had anything to do with it since he worked in that.
Well, of course, it would be absolutely impossible for us to make any sort of medical diagnosis on what killed your husband. So I'm not even going to try to answer that question. I'm sorry he passed away, but obviously we can't go there. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Roger Tulsis and not a whole lot of time. Hi.
Okay, hi. Art, you have a great phone hostess. Roger, I saw your website, and it's astonishing, all these your information you have about the weapons that they use. I wanted to ask you, since I've seen, like, on the Internet, a lot of people who are suffering, they say, from these electronic harassment.
Yes.
Do you think there's not the government, but do you think there's a group or a shadow group that are doing experiments and then people aren't aware of?
Yes, I do. I think there is.
Really?
Yep.
Can you comment on that?
It's not a short discussion. It's a long one. We did a show with George Norrie, a whole 2-hour show on it some time ago. Unfortunately, I think it's beyond the ability to replay it, but I have that show on CD, so you could contact me and I could see.
Well, you did the show, right? So, I mean, you could give us a nutshell view.
Yeah, a nutshell is that under Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520A, the government has the ability to do bioweapons experiments on its own citizens, and it's under the non-lethal weapons program. And
I'm familiar with that.
Okay.
I certainly know about that, yeah.
And so that is the authority for them to go forward and do experiments on whoever they want for almost any reason.
Okay, Roger, your website once again is?
Bugsweeps.com.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, and you take care, my friend.
Okay, see you, Art.
See you later, Roger. All right, that's it, folks. That's my weekend. We return your radio to its normal weeknight affair coming up with George Noy. I'm sure a wonderful lineup of guests coming this next week. We'll be cleaning up here, putting the trees back in place and the telephone lines and the electric lines back where they ought to be. So for this night from Southeast Asia, Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. Good night, all.